G'day Cubs fans from all over the world. This is Dallas from Sydney, Australia, and this episode of Outstanding Cubs Analysis is brought to you by proud Patreon supporters just like me. This is the Ivy Envy Podcast. Go Cubs!
On this week's episode, we're looking at the Cubs 2016 Zips projections. We'll explain what these projections are, what the numbers mean, and we'll look at the projections for individual position players and pitchers. MLB.tv will be implementing some changes in 2016 that could make it cheaper for you to watch Cubs games, and we'll share our 2016 Cubs resolutions. All of these topics and more on this, the 371st episode of the Ivy Envy Podcast. Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the Ivy Envy Podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast. We're doing it on Blab tonight.
Hi, guys. It's Andy.
And Kurt.
So we took an unannounced week off there between Christmas and New Year's. Things were slow with the Cubs, and there wasn't much to talk about, so we decided just to take the week off. We're back now. It's 2016. Pitchers and catchers report in what, like 6 weeks or something? Cubs convention is now less than 2 weeks away. It's like once that calendar turns, it's time for baseball, I think.
Yeah, and it's going to be here before we know it, I feel. I can't wait for it. I mean, I feel like once bowl games get over, I'm a little bit in sort of a black hole of sports. Although, I mean, I like hockey, but it's just kind of like counting the days till baseball comes back.
Yeah,
I have college basketball to carry me over, but I'll be itching here shortly.
Yeah, it seems like once the new year comes, like I said, Cubs convention, it's happening right away. It's what, January 15th through 17th this year. I'm going up there for it, and I will do my best to get into some of the sessions, especially the ones with members of ownership and the front office. The crowds will be crazy this year, but I have a sense of responsibility to all of you that aren't able to go. And so I'll do my best to squeeze in and then report back on the podcast what was discussed in these different sessions. And this is probably also a good time to mention that you should follow us on Twitter at IVMB for updates. I do remember cell service being really sketchy last year at the convention and not being able to send tweets. But again, I'll do my best. If you're going up to Cubs convention, I'd like to meet you and hang out. So, shoot me a tweet or email me, Corey, Corey at IVMB.com, and we'll coordinate it. And then, like I said, after that, pitchers and catchers report, spring training. Oh man, it's going to be fun. So what's the update on hashtag Where's Bert 2016? Lauren was asking a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. It's probably the same as it was before. Still, I don't know. It's looking, I guess it's looking probably slightly more likely.
It's up to like 52%.
Last time it was sort of like, yeah, I don't know, 50-50. Maybe it's 60-40 now in favor of going.
Oh, yeah, we're moving.
Because I've looked up flights recently and they seem to have almost come down, which I did not expect. So at some point, I'm just going to have to pull the trigger and then just let it be done. This is more, I mean, honestly, you know, it's more of a financial question than a will
question. Right, right. You've gotten the green light from the spouse?
Maybe a yellow light.
That's why you need to just pull the trigger and then figure it out.
You know, when I see the yellow light, I hit the gas. The brakes.
So yeah, we will be there. I'm going to go ahead and say all three of us will be there. speaking in confidence that we'll be there March 18th through 25th. I think that's what the dates are. A bunch of listeners are coordinating their trips to spring training around that week. We're going to hang out, watch baseball. We're going to do a meetup at our rental house on that Monday night. I think that's March 20th, maybe. I think it's the 20th.
21st.
Okay. Danny Rocket from Sun Ranto podcast and Katie Day, they are going to be playing a show at the Yucca Tap on Sunday, the night before our meetup. And it's going to be a blast. I just can't wait. It's going to be so nice. And yes, there is a pool. So
well, I didn't know there's a pool, so I'll definitely. So
now you're going.
I'm in.
And I see in the chat, that in the blab chat there, Andy, that your wife says she's working on a trophy for the first annual spring training air hockey tournament.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we better start practicing now. I mean, if you want the trophy, better start honing your air hockey skills.
So for me, it's just flailing. So I can flail like a champ.
My kids are really excited that there's going to be an air hockey table there. They're maybe about as excited about that as they are the pool.
Everybody's going to take it easy on them except for me. Like, I'd be the guy playing kids in basketball, like rejecting them all into the stands and stuff.
So,
same thing with air hockey.
So if you're not able to go to spring training, I mean, you know, like most of us aren't able to usually, you know, but you want to be part of that IVMV experience there, the meetup and everything. I would imagine we'll be like periscoping, things like that. I mean, we'll probably do an episode from there. I would guess we did last year. So makes sense to stay on our schedule. So so you'll still, you know, kind of be in the loop with what's going on and everything. It'll be a lot of fun. So that's kind of the housekeeping stuff for now. Again, there wasn't a ton that happened with the Cubs in this last week. No roster moves that I can remember. Was almost claimed off waivers by another team yet. Is he still with the Cubs again? I don't know.
We should have had the almost tracker going. I forgot about it.
but we do have a few things to talk about. For one, and this is an issue that a lot of Cubs fans face, especially Cubs fans outside of Chicagoland, now that the Cubs are not carried on WGN anymore across the country, and things are getting a little bit more sketchy with being able to watch the Cubs, both because of that deal and the fact that more people are, like, you know, cutting the cable and trying to move to a more what's the term?
Cheaper.
Cheaper. Yeah, there we go. More cheaper alternatives. What do you call it, Kurt? You watch what you want, when you want, or whatever. Unless it's the Cubs, then you're not able to.
Then you cheat.
Unless it's sports, and then you have a hard time with it. But anyways, it looks like MLB.TV will offer single team options in 2016.
Yeah, this sort of came about from the lawsuit that's still pending. One of the court filings that MLB's lawyers put in revealed that they would be offering single team packages next year, versus the previous packages have always been, I think, $130 gets you every team, every game, out of market, of course. The blackouts still apply. Nothing changing there. So they'll be offering the single season or single team packages. My guess is it's not going to be, you know, crazy cheaper. I mean, I don't think it's going to be half price or anything. They're still going to want to make you want to get that slightly more expensive package. But, you know, maybe it's $100 or something. So you might save $30 and just get the team you want. And yeah, so, I mean, I think things are changing in the streaming market. And I think this is just sort of like one of the first of many changes to come in the next few years.
Do you think that this is kind of like the first step in, like, that whole, entity changing, and maybe we'll kind of see some of the, ultimately the idea is to get rid of the blackouts. I mean, that's like the end game, I think, right now anyway.
Yeah. And I think as the streaming market gets bigger, then they'll have more leverage to be able to pull something like that. Right now they have too many contracts and too many market deals in place to be able to do that. So basically once the market shifts, they'll be able to do more. Cause honestly, I think if MLB could do it now and not screw themselves out of a bunch of money, they would do it. And that's really what it comes down to.
Right.
So, I mean, you make more selling baseball to millions of people who don't watch baseball than you do trying to sell it to all of us who do.
Yeah. But for anybody that's not within the blackout region or has their sneaky ways of getting around the blackouts, you could save a few bucks with this option because, and this is something that I would be interested in because while I like to think that I will turn on other games and watch them, the fact of the matter is if you spend 3 hours a day watching the Cubs and you have like kids, then you probably shouldn't be dedicating a whole lot more time to watching baseball. And so while I think like, oh yeah, and then at night I'll just watch again, you know, if the Cubs play in the afternoon, I'll turn something else on. But in reality, it doesn't happen as much as you think. So for me anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, save a little bit of money and put that money towards maybe going to a Cubs game. Okay, so before we get into the Zips projections here, which is the main portion of this episode, we broadcast these episodes live and we use a service called Blab. You can watch us on video while we record, and the chat there is usually quite lively, enough that it frequently distracts me and I sometimes have to look away from it, like tonight. But we usually maybe have 50 to 100 people that come in and out per broadcast. But Blab is doing something called Fan Appreciation Day. And when it comes to podcasts or blogs or whatever it is that we do, you know, in this new media landscape, I don't like the term fan. It kind of rubs me the wrong way. If you're listening to this, I don't think you're a fan of ours. I think you listen to us and I would say that you're our friends. I mean, if you're comfortable with us calling you our friends, that's what I consider you. But you're not fans, though. But anyway, Blab set aside January 13th for Fan Appreciation Day, and they've given us a slot, and it's at 8 p.m. Central, and I'm not real sure what we're supposed to do with that slot. So I think we're just supposed to hang out and invite you all to join us in the Blab, and then there will be one spot open so that you can jump in and join us in the conversation. We can talk about Cubs, you know, we can answer your questions about whatever you want. I don't know, maybe we'll come up with some ideas. I was thinking, you know, when we went to spring training last year, Andy, you and I did a Meerkat, which is now, I don't even know if Meerkat exists. It was quickly taken over by Periscope. But we answered a bunch of listener questions, primarily about ourselves, and it was a little more candid. We shared some of our opinions that you may not always hear here on the podcast, and I was thinking maybe that's what we should do is just kind of open it up to whatever, but I don't know. And I guess if you're listening to this
and you have anything,
yeah, I guess that type of thing. I really don't know what else to do. So, if anybody has any great ideas, I'd be open to hearing it. I mean, it just feels like a quote unquote fan appreciation thing should not be like just one of our typical episodes. And I was thinking that I probably wouldn't even release this thing into the podcast feed that I guess in order to watch it, you know, it would just live on Blab, I guess. But yeah, January 13th. So what's that? A week and a half away, at 8 p.m. Central. And you can follow us on Blab, download the free app to watch it or go to blab.im. And if you use the browser version, you know, the web version, you need to use Chrome. So while it was a slow few weeks, thankfully, Dan Zimborski, I think that's how you say his name, he released the 2016 Zips projections for the Cubs, and that gives us something to talk about this week, thankfully. So I'll kind of lay the groundwork, and then Kurt is going to talk about the position players, and Andy will talk about the pitchers. So Zips is one of the several projection systems out there. I know that we've talked about Steamer and Pakoda here on the podcast before, and just like you'd expect, these systems project the performances of players based on several things. It looks at past stats of those individual players. It looks at their ages, player comparisons, so kind of the other baseball players in history that have had a career trajectory of the same. I guess careers of the same trajectory is what I'm going for there. And so then it kind of looks at like what those players' careers did over the years and thinks that these specific players might go over the same route. And I guess that's kind of a simplified explanation, or at least my interpretation of what these projection systems like Zips are. If you want to see the projections, just Google 2016 Zips Chicago Cubs projections. I will post the link to the Fangraphs article in the show notes for this episode on our website. And one thing to keep in mind as you look through these players and the projections is that these are essentially based on full seasons. So, for instance, the projections have Matt Caesar with 482 at-bats, Billy McKinney with 504, Dan Vogelbach with 445. Clearly, these guys will not be getting those types of at-bats. In the case of McKinney and Vogelbach, they may not be getting any at the major league level. So playing time is not really taken into consideration, and that can inflate some of these numbers. For example, with Javier Baez, I'm not sure that he gets 526 at-bats this year, and he's projected with that number of at-bats with a WAR of 2.3, which will obviously drop with less at-bats. And another one that I found kind of humorous in there is that it says that Arizmendi Alcantara will have 585 at-bats. If he has 585 at-bats, this season may not go how we all hope that it will go. And another thing that you'll notice is that certain players are on the list and they will not be playing with the Cubs. For instance, Dexter Fowler is on there. He's on there as a Cub because he has not signed with another team yet, being a free agent. Tsuyoshi Wada is on the list. He's back in Japan, right? I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's on that list. So anyways, you kind of have to look at it, consider those things when you're looking at it. And I'm not sure how many other projection systems have been released. I know that if you look at the individual profiles, player profiles on Fangraphs, they have the 2016 Steamer projections, and those have a little more realistic numbers in regards to playing time. But before I hand it off to you guys, my only other thought on the Zips projections is that, well, I guess my thought was probably what everyone else thought when they saw it, and that was, holy cow, this team is stacked. and if you look at the potential, the projections, this team is probably the best in baseball, and these are really impressive numbers. And so, Kurt, why don't you talk about the impressive offensive numbers?
To sort of continue on that best in baseball theme, look up the blog post or article, whatever, by Jeff Sullivan that he posted to Fangraphs a couple weeks ago, and it's titled "The Cubs Are the Best Team in Baseball" or "Cubs as the Best Team in Baseball." So that kind of outlines some of this pretty well, and sort of why on paper they project to be so good. And I think it's, you know, it should be fairly obvious why, because you took a great team last year and then you improved it offensively and pitching. So I'll take a look at some of the offensive numbers. I think one of the interesting lines from this article that Sestouli put up on Fangraphs was that they're like you said, they're projected to be the best team. And Bryant, Hayward, and Rizzo amassed 18 wins between them in 2015. And projections tend to project regression. This year they're projected at 15 wins, but that figure would be a better mark than the overall totals posted by position players of 8 teams in 2015. So those guys are ahead of 8 teams just for them. So and the other interesting thing about the position players is, like I said, that they tend to project regression, not progression. So it's not like you're going to see, you know, Bryant projected at 40 home runs or anything crazy like that. They expect that players aren't going to, you know, have these crazy breakouts. And guess what? Now my page is not loading. Hold on one second.
Well, Dallas in the chat, he asks, is there any weak link in the Cubs lineup? And I guess when your weak link is Addison Russell, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, that's a damn good lineup.
Yeah. And just to kind of like highlight some of the numbers, I mean, batting averages are tend to project about the same as they were. Nothing crazy there. This isn't a high on base, or they're high on base, but not a high average lineup. You know, they've got Hayward leading at 274. BABIP numbers are really good. His OBP is going to be 352. You know, Rizzo and Bryant are projecting fairly similar to last year, but, you know, like I said, a slight regression. Home runs down slightly. I think they have 32 home runs for Rizzo and Bryant, or I'm sorry, Rizzo and Schwarber, and 29 for Bryant. So, again, pretty similar to last year. I mean, the Schwarber number's higher, but they're projecting him to get more plate appearances, and I think that's fair. I mean, RBIs, they've got Schwarber and Bryant above 100, and Rizzo at 99. And, you know, I don't know. There's nothing, like I said, it's nothing that's really going to jump off the page. I think what's important about this group is the fact that you don't just have two guys. You've got, you know, one through six that are just really solid. And the lineup is just going to be ridiculous. And then, like you said, you know, we got Russell hitting ninth potentially if they continue to do that with him there. And it's just, as a whole, they're stacked. So it's going to be pretty amazing.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, the kickball team in elementary school that, you know, nobody wanted to play against.
Right. I mean, you're right. You look at it and it's not like there's anyone projected with just like astronomical numbers. Mm-hmm. It's just that every one of them is so solid.
Yeah. I mean, you've got basically, you know, 93 home runs out of your top three power hitters. And, you know, I mean, yeah, it's just going to be crazy. And like Corey kind of touched on it, it's not going to highlight any, it doesn't do a good job of projecting like anybody who might fall off a lot. So hopefully that doesn't happen, or obviously no injuries or anything like that. But if everything projects, and they're pretty accurate typically. So
right now these are not going to, yeah. Injuries are a good point, a good thing to bring up. But I also think that, and I mean, I hate to talk about injuries, especially in January, but this team has so much depth too. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have Chris Coughlin on the bench and you have Javier Baez on the bench, and you know, it's so crazy to think of how far we've come in such a short period of time, even like from the beginning of 2014. Yeah. It's just, it is so bonkers how far we've come. And I feel like we say that all the time, but then when you look at, I wish I had it pulled up. I wish I had stats pulled up, but think about like 2013, 2014, what the home run totals were for the team then. And then you look at the fact that you've got, you know, Rizzo with 32, Schwarber with 32, Bryant with 29, Baez with 22 projected. it's crazy.
Just the idea that something great could happen with every single at bat. You know?
Right. Yeah.
I have confidence in every player that's going to come to the plate. Man, it's going to be so fun to watch.
Yeah. So, Andy, do you want to touch on the pitchers?
Yeah, I do. Really like to touch on a few of them. Anyway, yeah, so speaking of solid, the Cubs starting staff, the Cubs pitchers are looking pretty good as far as the projections are concerned as well. The every expected starter has a projected sub 4 ERA, and there's only one that has an FIP above 4, projected to be above 4, and that's Jason Hamill at 4.06. So they're all looking pretty good in that department. I think it's funny, you know, you talked about this system for projection is based on finding comparable players and how they performed. Tsuyoshi Wada, though not a member of the team anymore, his number one comp was Jim Deshays.
Yeah, I saw that.
But Jake Arrieta is number one comp is Oral Hershiser, so that's nice. Pretty cool. It seems appropriate, especially if he's able to keep it up. But anyway, speaking of Arrieta, he is projected to come down to earth a little bit, perhaps. You know, he can't maintain that 1.77 ERA. He's projected to have a 2.56. So that's pretty tough to take. That's hard to swallow. And then a 2.87 FIP over 2.35 last season. A weird thing that I thought with Arrieta's projected numbers is that they have him with the highest walk rate among the starters at 6.6%, which is still above average for a walk rate, by the way. But his walk rate last year was 5.5. But on the other hand, he's projected to have the highest K rate among the starters. I guess what it comes down to is that he's going to be solid again. Of course, he's a 5-WAR pitcher. Lester, though, I expected to have a pretty similar season to this past season, but his ERA is projected to go down. It was at 3.34 last season, 2.98 projected this season. Let's see. I guess that's about it for starters that I had to say about starters.
It's nice to see that Lackey still has some decent projections despite the fact being like 37 years old, you know.
Yeah, he has a pretty good walk rate. He's projected to have a 3.34 ERA, which is pretty solid. You know, and so it's the WAR for the pitchers, you know, it's at 5-something for Arrieta, 4 for Lester, 3 for Lackey. So it's all very solid for the for the top of the rotation. Yeah, so that is a good thing. For the bullpen, I was kind of looking at the walk rate and the strikeout rate. One thing that stood out to me is that the numbers all look pretty good, but Grimm, Cahill, Ramirez, and Strope are all projected to have a walk rate around 10%, which is terrible. I mean, it's really bad. But out of, you know, 3 of those 4 players are also projected to have K rates of 27% or above, which is amazing. So I don't really know what to make of that, but hopefully that their control is better than the projections are saying for those guys.
Well, they're going to be good.
Yeah, and I mean they're projections, you know. I mean it's January. What else do we have to do but look at like potential stats that this team could have? So I don't know. It was kind of a nice little like, oh, we're in the dead of winter, but here's, I don't know. It's like a I guess in a way it makes the 2016 season a little more tangible. It makes it feel like it is actually on its way. It is coming. I really enjoy looking at the Baseball Prospectus book, and that is released on February 9th this year, by the way. You can pre-order it on Amazon now. The Kindle version is like $14, I think, and then the paperback is like $15. And I would strongly suggest the paperback version, but it's a great book. It goes through each team, and it's a really good breakdown of the team. Last year, Sahadev Sharma wrote the piece in there on the Cubs, and it's really good. I would really suggest checking it out. And like I said, it's on Amazon. You can buy it through our site. Go to ivmv.com and then click on the Amazon link on the side of the page, and then we'll get a little slice of your purchase. And I will put the link for that in the show notes for this episode too. So yeah, projections. Baseball books coming out. It's kind of nice when you know, all these things start, like even like the projections for other teams, I think are kind of interesting to look at this time of year. And there's a lot of good blog posts and stuff being written right now too. So we didn't open this up for listener questions because I thought we could have a shorter episode, but Dawn did ask us maybe a week or so ago. She asked us about our Cubs-based New Year's resolutions. And so I thought maybe we could share what ours. I came up with three. So I don't know how many you guys kicked around.
I just have one. I'm not much of a resolution guy, but I just come.
I don't like to challenge myself.
Oh no!
I don't know. I've already achieved a high level of excellence in every arena.
Well, one of mine is that I want to go to more Cubs games. I think I only went to three last year, without the playoffs. I guess I went to the two playoffs games. I think I went to three regular season games, which is kind of disappointing looking back on it because, like, I think I didn't go because tickets were a little bit more expensive. And we've talked on here before, you know, I live 3-4 hours from Wrigley and it's just a production to get up there and everything. And looking back on the 2016 season, I really kind of wish I would have made more of an effort to go to more games. So that's one of mine, is just to get up there to more games.
Yeah, that'd have to be one of mine too, because in, I think, you know, 2013, 2014, I went to more games in those seasons than I did in 2015. Yeah. And so I saw teams that were a lot more miserable to watch than the 2015 Cubs. And so I wish I would have gone to a couple more. I mean, that being said, I feel very blessed about the playoff games I got to take in
right.
in 2015. And I'm hoping, you know, there's some more playoff games in my future. But yeah, I'd like to go see if, you know, at least two or three more games in person this season.
Yeah, I could jump on that as a resolution to see more. But mine was, in fact, to see a playoff game at Wrigley this year, because I wasn't able to make it to the Wrigley ones that you guys went to, and saw the one in St. Louis, which was amazing. But I really want to take it in. And then, of course, we were scheduled to go to game five at yeah. Wrigley, and I had purchased tickets for my father-in-law and that whole thing, and that obviously didn't work out. So that left a bit of a bad taste there, and I want to
so this is a,
that and make it back and see them at Wrigley.
Your resolution actually kind of boils down to the Cubs doing well too.
Yeah, but I feel pretty comfortable resolving that we'll see a playoff game this year.
One of my other ones is to, I want to get to a South Bend game this year. You know, it's only what, like an hour and a half past Chicago. I'd like to get up there. It sounds like their ballpark's pretty neat. And we had, Chris Hagstrom on the podcast at least once, maybe a couple times. They're all really nice. They do good work on Twitter and everything. So that's another one of mine, is to get up there to South Bend. And also to go along with that, and I don't think this is attainable this year, is that I really want to get to a Tennessee Smokies game.
Yeah, that would be my number one minor league system team that I'd really like to go see. Although a little Myrtle Beach trip would be pretty cool too. I was thinking those two could be combined, because I don't think Myrtle Beach is that far from, I forget where it is, like Kodiak or something, where the Smokies play.
It's like outside Tennessee or Knoxville, I'm pretty sure, which I think is maybe like 7 or 8 hours from me.
Yeah, it's definitely a pretty involved trip for us to get down there, but that would be pretty sweet.
It's just a Saturday drive,
right? Just put a mouse trap under the seat and go. Right.
I tell Tanya I'm going to pick up some milk at the grocery store. Next thing I know, I'm in Knoxville, Tennessee.
But I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like I can't say I wish I want to try caring more about the Cubs in 2016, because I was trying to think about, isn't it kind of interesting to think about how many games you missed it just, you know, either listening to or watching in 2015? Like, what would your estimate be of how many games you just totally missed?
Flat out missed? How many games did I not see anything?
Like, did not hear or see.
Yes.
Boy, that's tough to estimate.
I would be surprised if it's more than a dozen.
Yeah. I was thinking about the same number, like 10 to 15, maybe at the most.
Yeah, I would have probably said 15.
But even then, I was, you know, tracking it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Tracking. Yeah, not a ton. But I always, but then there's also the how well are you listening, or how involved are you? Because I almost always have the radio on And then whether or not my kids let me listen to it is a different story. So
right. Yeah. My other one that I will, it's a New Year's resolution that I have no intention of even trying. And that is I would like to blog more, but I'm not going to do it. I really wish
the IVM version of I want to lose 20 pounds.
It is every year. Every year we're like, okay, we've got the strategy. We're going to blog this year. And then it just does not happen. I really
so 10 years ago.
I know, but you know what? There's something to be said. I really I think that blogging is really interesting because for one, you don't stumble over your words like we do. You can communicate a little bit more clearly, maybe. I also think that it's more like from a what would be good for IVMV standpoint, it's a little bit more like it's easier to find. It's, you know, people share things more, and I just think like it would maybe help me get a little bit more like clear with my thought processes when it comes to baseball and stuff like that. Obviously, I prefer podcasting because I think that I can read blog posts all the time, and I can go to their Cubs websites, you know, fan websites that I read. And a lot of times I don't even pay attention to who wrote a particular column, or even if I do, I still like, it takes you so much time to really kind of like get to know that person, where I think with podcasting, if somebody listens to us for like 3 or 4 or 5 episodes, they pretty much have an idea of get to know our personalities and stuff like that. So like, I mean, just, there's a lot of reasons that I prefer podcasting over blogging, but in a way I wish that I was a little more, I wish I did more writing, I guess.
Yeah, I do too. But I also give a probably not the best time to do it, but there's so many good Cubs bloggers out there and that are, you know, friends of ours that it's tough to, it's intimidating, I guess, to try to sort of compete when there's so much great stuff out there on the blog side of things.
You're right. But one thing that I think that it would help me do is I think that writing would actually make me like stop and think an idea through, where maybe I don't do that so much here on the podcast. You know what I mean? Like I think that it would maybe cause me to like, because it is something that's like written and like documented and would be there for everyone to see at any time. I mean, a podcast is too. It's just a little bit tougher to find, I feel. But I think that it would maybe like kind of just, I think it would help me kind of work through kind of certain baseball logic. And I think that it would maybe make me a little bit more of a better baseball thinker. Instead of a base,
and we already know you're not going to do it. So
I know. I really wish I had the time. I would love to do it, but it's, maybe I should just say like, okay, I want to write like one a week or like once every 2 weeks or something. Maybe that would be a way to ease my way into it. This is our like what, 8th year of podcasting. I bet every single year, every off season, we've like challenged ourselves in some way to write more, to bring like writers onto the website. I mean, we've tried so much.
2008, 2009 were probably pretty big blogging years for us.
Yeah, I'm guessing. Right. But I think if you look back at it, like it, we would probably be pretty embarrassed of that writing now. You know, like I think that I'm
speak
a
for yourself. Yeah.
I would be.
That was good.
All right. So, you guys have any other resolutions?
I don't think so.
Well,
I think
it's not to blog more.
All right. So do you guys have any internet muscle flexes this week?
I don't have one this week.
I don't either. So it looks like it's all.
Oh, man. Sorry. I've got 4. These came from the. So if you're listening to our podcast for the first time, we go to Cubs. Either Cubs.com articles, look at the comments, or we go to the Cubs social media sites like Facebook, Instagram, and everything, and just find instances of commenters flexing their internet muscles. And so I went to the Cubs picture where they had the engagement photo of Chris Bryant and his bride-to-be. And I figured there would be a lot of interesting stuff on there. Of course, a lot of like people tagging like, oh, your boyfriend's taken, you know, at whatever, blah, blah, blah. So there's a couple, each of the, okay. So the first one, this commenter says, now is most definitely not the time for homie to get shackled. And let's see, to go along with that idea that, you know, this is an important time in Cubs baseball, and this is not the time, this person says, now don't be distracted, we have a friggin' championship to win. Okay. Then this person says, this chick is not even decent looking.
Oh no, I knew
that there would be that crap on there.
And the last one is, she's just not hot. Maybe her sexy time is unfathomable.
Her what time?
Maybe her sexy time is unfathomable.
What?
People are the worst.
Yeah,
I know.
Especially to women. I'm embarrassed.
I know. She's like, they've been together for like 8 years. So what? Since they were in like probably freshman or in high school, or I don't know. That'd be like back to almost junior high or something. So,
but you guys got to, you should watch that Aziz. This is an Aziz Ansari stand up where he talks about it. Like, or in his show, The Master of None, they talk about it. He's like, I put up this picture of my food and people are like, looks yummy. And then his, one of his, I think his girlfriend's like, I put up a picture of my food, and they're like, you know, making nasty sexist comments about her food. So
I know. I just think
the internet, like, is an awful place.
Oh, I know. And imagine if that like poor girl, it's like, oh, look, the Cubs put our engagement little Instagram snapshot. And then she sees, mm-hmm. like, ugh.
Yeah, it's sometimes this segment even, like, makes me venture into misanthropy territory.
I don't know. I guess the one positive thing was that I really enjoyed the fact that they said, maybe her sexy time is unfathomable. That's really what kind of caught my eye.
That's actually what he said in his proposal.
Zips projects it to be pretty good.
It's off the charts.
I should say unzips.
Oh, man. Oh, and with that. So that does it for this episode. This episode was made possible by all of our Patreon contributors. A special thanks to those that support at the associate producer level. Matthew Macer, Anthony Hutfels, Joshua Hansen, Ryan Shores, Brian Hunt, Andrew Gross, Tim Marr, Ryan Winkle, and the Quad City's own Jason Nunn. We have a few new supporters to thank this week. Vic from New York City and Brett from Queen City, Arizona. Patreon helps us pay for the cost of doing this podcast, the equipment, bandwidth, everything that goes along with that. There's perks at every level. You can get IVMB stickers, IVMB posters, pint glasses, and more. The pledging level started just $1 a month, just pocket change, and it makes a huge difference for us. Go to patreon.com/IVMB. That's patreon.com/IVMB. Or go to IVMB.com and click on the Patreon button on the right side of the page. So thank you for downloading this episode. If you enjoyed it, maybe tweet it out or share it with your friends that are Cubs fans. We will be back next Sunday night. And until then, go Cubs.